In 1973, researchers conducted an interesting experiment. They asked a group of seminary students to go from one building to another to complete a task. Some of them were told that they would be preparing a talk about the Good Samaritan. Others were told that they would be preparing a talk about seminary jobs. Some were told that they were late. Others were told they had plenty of time, but it was probably a good idea to get over there. On the way between the two buildings, they passed a man who was slumped in a doorway, coughing and moaning. Did they stop to help him? Interestingly, it made no difference whether they were thinking about the Good Samaritan or about seminary jobs. The thing that made a difference was how late they thought they were. Those who believed themselves to be late were much less likely to stop to try to assist the man. Their commitment to the experiment conflicted with their concern about him, and in the time crunch, they chose to get on with what they believed to be the task. Does that sound familiar? In today's gospel, though, we see Jesus do something quite different. He is on his way to Jairus' house. This is a crisis. His daughter is dying, and Jesus needs to get there right away. But Jesus stops. He looks around for the person who was healed by his cloak. It's an interesting gospel story in that two women are healed, but we don't know their names. Jairus' daughter and the woman with hemorrhages. Imagine being known by history as the woman with hemorrhages. So let's call her Miriam, so that we can remember that she is a whole person. She was a whole person, not just someone defined by her illness. Though I imagine that that is probably how she thought of herself. Women were considered unclean when they were in their monthly cycle. When Miriam was bleeding, she was unclean. And not only that, but anyone she touched became unclean. 12 years. 12 years of maintaining social distance and being careful not to touch. I imagine that Miriam was very, very careful to avoid social situations. I imagine she spent a lot of time thinking about her illness. She had spent all her money going to specialists, but the doctors hadn't come up with a solution that worked. And I expect that in her mind, her illness defined who she was, put constructs around her life. The unclean woman. But imagine the hope that swelled up in her when she heard that Jesus was healing people. But she had the same problem with Jesus that she had with all the doctors. If they touched her or she touched them, they would also become unclean, which would prevent them from being able to touch others or from participating in anything holy until after a prescribed period of time. And so she came up with a daring plan. She got close enough to Jesus to touch his cloak, hoping against hope that that might be enough. And it was. But imagine her shock when Jesus stopped, and instead of allowing her to creep back to the edges of society, he turned the spotlight on her. Suddenly, Miriam was more important in that moment than anything or anyone else, because Jesus was asking for her, talking to her, giving her his full attention. Even though he was in a hurry, even though one of the leaders of the synagogue was impatiently waiting for him. We live in a culture that's always in a hurry, and along the way we choose not to see or not to stop to help those who can't keep up. There are many groups of people who we pass by on the other side of the road. In the last year, we have been made horribly aware of the systematic racism that exists, which makes Black people and Asian Americans invisible and the recipients of the worst we have to offer. Those who are homeless, those who are mentally ill, those who live with autism, old people with no family. The list goes on. There are many people we choose not to see. And we choose not to see or to act on the disaster that is overtaking the planet. Partisan politics is getting in the way of any really radical approach to climate change. And our willingness to look the other way as the planet changes intersects with our willingness to look the other way so we don't see the suffering caused by racial discrimination. There's an article in the New York Times today about how American Indian tribes who live on the edge of society, how their lands and homes are being swallowed up by the ocean or are sinking into the ground as the permafrost melts. And there's very little federal assistance to help them move to higher, firmer ground. As a society, we are in too much of a hurry to notice these people living on the margins, literally living on the very edge of our continent. But Jesus isn't. Jesus is not in a hurry. Jesus always has time for the one who is left out. We can apply it socially, and we can apply this individually. Most of us have parts of ourselves that we don't want to deal with, places in our hearts and minds that harbor difficult feelings, painful memories, experiences of shame. The more we hurry on and keep busy, the less we have to notice those unhealed places. We are afraid to pause and allow those difficult feelings to surface, and so we just keep moving. But Jesus stops. Jesus stops everything he is doing to say, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." As you know, I will be taking a sabbatical in August, and I will be away from the parish for 12 weeks. Most clergy get a chance to do this about every 5 years, but because I've been part-time for the past 16 years, I've only just become eligible for this time away. It's a time to stop rushing and to pay attention. To pay attention to what Jesus is saying to me and to us. A time for healing and for reflection. A time for God to show me things I have been missing. I hope it will also be a time for you as a congregation to see things that you may not have noticed, especially in these last months of these we have met challenge after challenge together. I thank you for giving me this opportunity to slow down and notice. I also thank you for getting me to full-time compensation. Your generous giving always astonishes me. Back to Jesus. In this gospel reading, he stands normal social behavior on its head. Instead of rushing to help the leader of the synagogue, a man of some standing and power in the community, Jesus stops everything to talk to Miriam, who has been hiding away, scared to come out of her home, rarely seen in public because she has an apparently incurable disease. This is the way that Jesus is. He doesn't ignore the powerful and the community leaders, but he prioritizes those on the margins. And since Jesus does that, we can be sure that God does that too. And so, people of God, that is to be our path as well, stopping in our rushing to notice what God is showing us, paying attention always to those on the margins.